This is the Reverend Christy Hoard from St. John's Episcopal Church in Pensacola, Florida. Thank you for tuning in to our podcast, St. John's Talks, a collection of sermons, interviews, and speaker events here at St. John's Episcopal Church. I hope you enjoy.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So I remember well, I'm starting to show my age now, when high-definition television began to find their way into our homes. More specifically, as the technology increased, right, and the average television set displayed images of what we now know is, I think is what, 4,000, something like that, HD, and continues to get better and better. But I remember early on how conversations about how high definition was creating new challenges for actors and actresses and even musicians. There were conversations and comments about how we, the consumer, could now see with great clarity not only the sweat, blood, and tears of our favorite athletes as they played for the trophy and shiny new ring, but also the imperfections of Hollywood celebrities. And as the screen size got bigger and bigger and bigger, there was really no longer any way for celebrities to hide their blemishes. And I mean this literally, hide their blemishes from the rest of the world. You see the acne, the overgrown facial hairs, the unsightly mole, the oily skin, the worry lines, the jig was up, and no matter how much magazines buffed and polished and airbrushed to cover up what they considered to be imperfections and flaws, on the screen, they were out there for all of us to see. Now, technology has certainly advanced, and in many ways it has changed, some would say enhanced, some would say challenged, but it has definitely changed what we are able to see. And in many ways, technology, as it continues to advance, continues to create a window into a new way of seeing the world around us. Now, the disciples, as we meet them today, had seen Jesus cast out demons. They had seen Jesus heal Peter's mother-in-law. They had seen Jesus cure the sick in Capernaum. He had cleansed the leper. He had made a withered hand new and strong. Paralytics could now walk, the blind could see, and thousands of people have been fed. This is the Jesus now whom people talk, right? This is the Jesus who gets a lot of likes and shares on Facebook and Instagram, thousands of followers on Twitter, I mean X, as it is now called. And it's in this intense moment of clarity, when the world is finally seeing the wonderful works of Jesus, that this transfiguration happens. That those who climbed the mountain with Jesus and saw this miracle happen before their eyes, they now have a new way of seeing the world. They have a new lens to which to see the rest of their life together with Jesus. And they are finally beginning to truly understand who Jesus really is. Jesus is transfigured right before their eyes. Now, a quick search on the internet would define the word to be transfigured or to transfigure is to turn into something more beautiful. More beautiful and more elevated. Now, I would argue that transfigurations are big business these days. As a culture, as a society, we have become hyper aware of the face, both literally and figuratively, what we present to the world. We have become hyper focused on how we look externally to the rest of the world. Plastic surgery continues to be a big business. Spray tans and tanning beds. Every photo we take with our phone can be edited just so to make us look better, the situation look prettier, the colors to be brighter. Everything has anti-aging in it. Now, a quick aside, I just want to be sure that none of these things are necessarily bad. I do not believe necessarily that these things are bad. And I'm pretty sure that my daily face wash has some sort of anti-aging in it. Though I'm not actually sure it works. But even before the beauty of anti-aging and market boomed, actors and public figures would even go so far as to change their name. To change their name to something more appealing and more interesting. How we present ourselves to the world. Would you have paid money to see Mary and Michael Morrison in the movies? Maybe. But Marion didn't think anyone would, and he became John Wayne. You see, we can change our appearance. We can change our name. We can change our whole image. We can make ourselves totally unrecognizable to the world if we choose. But here today, we are reminded of our beginning. We are reminded of what our true nature is called to be. You see, Moses' face wasn't shining when he came down from the mountain because of the latest anti-aging skin peel. His face was shining because of what was happening on the inside. And Jesus isn't dazzling white because of his latest exfoliating experiment. He was shining from the inside. And in so showing Peter and John and James his true identity, his high definition reality, that he is the very manifestation of God. This moment clearly changed the disciples' life. So much so, they were so astonished and so surprised that they kept in silence. Transfiguration moments do change us. They also sustain us. They can prepare us and encourage us and guide us into a new future, regardless of the circumstances that we face. Transfiguration moments show us who we are. Who we are when we become transfigured by the grace of God. Who we are when our eyes are opened to see a transfigured world. Who we are when our ears can hear the transfigured voice. Who we are when our hearts are truly opened to become a transfigured life. While we talk about movie stars and TV screens and images that move, when we think about pictures, photographs are static. You see, Jesus didn't suddenly light up to become something he wasn't. No, God shone through the disciples. Their eyes were healed and they were opened so that they could see Jesus as Jesus has always been. And the voice in the cloud wasn't new either, but their ears were open so that they could hear the voice that had never stopped speaking, but finally they could hear it. And this transfiguration is just as much about Jesus as it is about them. Their eyes were opened. Their ears were opened. And for a moment, Peter wants to take that snapshot. Let us preserve this moment. Let us build three dwellings. This photo becomes a window into a new life, but the moment is transfigured and everything has changed. So the question is, do we allow ourselves to be truly known? Are we making room for God to truly transform us from the inside? Truthfully, sometimes transformation is a very painful process. Prolific author Richard Rohr writes, in terms of thinking of Jesus and this transformation, he argues that Jesus' primary metaphor for the mystery of transformation, this transfiguration that we are called to experience, is the sign of Jonah. You may remember this story as a child, Jonah and the whale. As a Jewish person, Jesus would have known this story very well, the vivid story of Jonah, the prophet who ran away from God and yet was so used by God in spite of himself. No matter how far Jonah would run, God was still using Jonah to transform the world. And Jonah was swallowed by a big fish, as the story goes, and taken where he would rather not go. You see, God was calling Jonah to a place Jonah didn't want to go, and God continued to pursue him. Ultimately swallowed by a big fish, taken where he would rather not go. A metaphor of any kind of death, when we are called to let something go and move on to something new. And then, and only then, Rohr argues, will we be spit out. Keeping with the imagery of Jonah and the whale, we will be spit out on a new shore. That God will pursue us for this transformed life. And only then, when we are trapped and taken in and relinquish our control over what happens next, then and only then will God spit us out onto a new shore, all in spite of ourselves. To die, Rohr argues then, is thus to become. And it's this pattern of transformation. Transformation happens in all of creation. Why would it not so happen and be an opportunity in the human life? But we seldom go willingly into the belly of the beast. Unless we face a major disaster like the death of a friend or a spouse or the loss of a marriage or a job, we usually will not go there on our own accord. We have to be taught the way of descent. But it goes against all of our cultural instincts because we usually try to fix or change events in order to avoid changing ourselves. We usually try to change or fix events in order to avoid changing ourselves. But wise people who have traveled this journey long, will tell us we must learn to stay with the pain of life. We must learn to live sometimes without answers. We must learn to live sometimes without conclusions. And it's grace that leads us to this state. It's grace that leads us to those momentary moments, the sense of meaninglessness in which we may ask, what in the world is this all for? My friends, the way of Jesus is a call to be transformed. The church is called to be an institution of transformation. Now, here at St. John's, we have a lot of pictures of where we used to be. Wonderful, fun, joy-filled pictures. But again, pictures are static. They capture a moment in time. How are these pictures in our mind going to open us to a new window and a new way of seeing the world? If the church indeed is called to be an institution of transformation, how are we to live into that calling today? As individuals and as a collective body of Jesus Christ. Well, we begin with gathering weekly to worship God and offer praise and thanksgiving. We begin with taking pride in our history as a whole, our history as individuals, the stories that came before us and the stories that will be told after we are gone. We open our hearts as the disciples did, and we open our minds and we open our ears to be able to hear the transformative call that God is calling us towards. How and where are we called to be transformed by God? Where can we bring this transformative power to our community? What opportunities has God put in your life for transformation? You see, here on the other side of history, we have an advantage. Unlike Peter and John and James, we know what happens next. We know that in the end, Christ overcomes death. We know that in the end, love wins. So let the world see the light that shines in you. And don't shy away from the beasts that pursue you. Let those moments transform you. Let us lean into those hard places and allow God to take us to another shore. There's a sweet story about a little girl who went to her mother one day and asked her if it was true. Is it true, Mother, that God is bigger than anything in the whole world? And her mother replied, "Of course it is true." "Well, then, if that's true," the little girl continued to inquire, "is it true that when we believe in Jesus, Jesus as God as a person, that Jesus comes to live inside in our hearts?" And the mother said, "Yes, yes, honey, that's true too." "Well," the little girl continued, "if God is bigger than anything in the whole world, and God chooses to live in our hearts, wouldn't God show through?" Amen.